JC Corcoran Podcast.
She asked him why.
I'll take it.
You're still singing this
why
same song.
Your mama's a hairy guy.
Up and down.
He's hairy noon and
nighty night night.
His hair is a fry.
Uses hairspray.
Joe's hairy high and low.
JC too.
I get a visual there.
But don't ask me why.
They don't know.
Come on, say the
sorry.
The 45.
It's not for lack of friend. Like the Grateful Dead.
Darling.
Long, beautiful hair, shining, gleaming, streaming, flaxen, waxing. Give me down to there, shoulder length or longer. Here, baby, there, mama, mama.
As we went daddy, daddy, daddy.
Another station now, so we'd like to do more.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Thursday, March 16th, 2023, 14 days until opening day. Hi, kids, you're at jconline.com. It'd be nice if the temperature came up a little bit, huh? Wouldn't that be nice, huh? Wouldn't that be nice? God, what's it? Well, here's Angela Huddy on Fox 2.
So for your St. Patrick's Day plans, be ready for it to feel a lot different. That 42-degree high, not going to feel that warm. More like 32 in the afternoon. We're going to take at least 10 degrees off with those gusty winds for that feels like temperature.
St. Louis FC Saturday night. Talking about 35 mile an hour wind gusts. The Dogtown Parade tomorrow.
Colder tomorrow and all weekend long. Highs in the 30s. Lows in the morning in the low 20s. Major freeze concerns for early season crops around the region.
Hell with the crops. What about us? And then you got those floats, the floats, you know, which are basically put together with staplers and tissue paper and twine. And that's what you want is a nice high profile, poorly constructed float going by with the wind chill factor at about 30 degrees and about a 35 mile an hour wind. Have a nice day. And then again, you know, if you don't like this, go ahead and try California where there's 15 feet of snow, or go out to the Northeast. You got a nor'easter. They're talking about tornadoes in Dallas today. That will move into the deep south tomorrow. This is what the weather guys like to refer to as an active weather pattern. What it means to us is somebody do something. Make this stop. Not in a particularly good mood here today. I don't know what you guys do when somebody's messing with you. And in this particular case, it's just somebody who thinks they're messing with me. They're not really doing it, but I don't like the idea that they think they're getting away with it. And it's not working, but I just don't like the idea that they're doing it. And you have to stop that shit. You have to stop. When somebody's messing with you, you have to stop them. Or at some point, you got to come along and you have to retaliate, because otherwise it's like anything else. People will think they got away with something. You can't have that. And someone will even go around telling other people, hey, guess what I did to him? You know, so you have to make that stuff stop or they'll do it again. The problem that I have is that when I retaliate, you need dental records to identify the bodies. You hit me, I will hit you 50 times harder. And there's people who just don't seem to understand that. And so for the guys, and I know they're listening, because they listen every day. I know they're listening. For the guys who are doing this, make a deal with you right now. I'll make a deal with you. I don't know why I'm being this benevolent and this conciliatory, but I will. I'll make a deal with you. Stop right now, and we'll just call it a truce. We'll call it a draw, right? But that's if you stop right now and stop all the bullshit. Stop it right now. Don't stop and don't say that you weren't warned. I take this shit seriously. I retaliate big time. I cover my tracks. I never get caught. But again, I just caution you that you're being warned. Ask anybody who fucked with me since I got to St. Louis 39 years ago. Ask anybody who fucked with me if they regret it. Guess what their answer is going to be. So again, you stop now. We call it a truce. Continue on. And I know that you think you're going to get away with this. I know that you think, well, what can he do to us? Because I know that you guys are really full of yourselves. It's almost funny. It is funny, actually, to me. But like I said, don't say you weren't warned. Because if you don't stop now, there will be a day. There will be a day soon. And I guarantee you that you'll be standing there one day just sort of thinking to yourself, maybe I miscalculated here. The countryside is strewn with the carcasses of people who, through the years, thought they were going to get away with something in fucking with me. And years after I retaliated, they're still wishing they hadn't done it. They're still wishing that they had made a better choice. So we'll just sort of leave it at that. By the time you hear this, we could actually have a ruling on the abortion pill. This is that thing down in Texas now. And what the judge, this is a Trump-appointed judge, by the way, relatively young guy, and some people who just won't leave well enough alone. You know, you already won on Roe v. Wade, but now they're trying to stop what turns out to be almost half of all the abortions that occur in this country result from that pill. You know, you take this pill. Actually, you take one, and then I think you come back a couple of days later, and you take another one, and that's it. And probably half of all abortions in this country are a result of that. Pill is absolutely safe. It's been available for 20 years. And this is another one of these situations where you get these people who are trying to correct a problem that doesn't exist. It's like the voter fraud situation. We're going to wipe out voter fraud. There is no voter fraud. Yeah, well, but see, we're going to say it that way because what we're really trying to do is curtail the accessibility of the ballots from the people that we don't want to vote. So what we have to say publicly is that, you know, the voter fraud is rampant. It's not. So we're trying to correct a problem that doesn't exist. Same thing here. Well, you know, this thing has been perpetrated against the American public. It's a women's issue. See, we're trying to keep things safe for women. It's like, yeah, well, the pill's been out there for 20 years, and it is safe. Death risk is less than 1%. You know what I found out yesterday? Something like 50 men a year die from Viagra. I'm assuming that's because they take too much. Because otherwise, you know, I don't know. What, you take a Viagra and your dick explodes or something? You die, you bleed to death? I don't know. But it's probably something with your heart, your blood pressure, or something like that. But, you know, the abortion pill is safe. 22 years. And if this judge would come along and say, yeah, we're going to wipe it out, and it would wipe it out everywhere, even in states where abortion is legal. This is crazy. It would be completely and totally unprecedented for a judge sitting somewhere to overrule the FDA, especially when the FDA has said, this is really stupid, it's unsafe, and you're going to drive more women into back alley abortions, and cut it out. So by the time you hear the podcast today, there actually could be a ruling. I mean, the judge has basically said, I'm going to rule swiftly on this. We've got Mizzou playing today, 11:40 St. Louis time. Oh, and by the way, if you're going down to the St. Louis FC game on Saturday night, as always, be careful where you park your car. Now, they got bullets coming down all over the place at 10th and Olive. 10th and Olive. And it's a big controversy because they have the lofts and the apartments and condos and stuff right over there. And what they do is they do those short-term leases, which is code language for, we're going to have a giant fucking party and we're not going to trash our home. So what we'll do is we'll do a short-term lease on one of these condos, one of these lofts. We'll have this massive party. Place will be trashed at the end. And oh, you know, what's a good party without a hail of bullets? And they had more of it last night. 10th and Olive. I don't know about you, but I go down to these major events in downtown St. Louis. I see no cops. You go to an event anywhere else, and there's cops not all over the place, but there is a what you would call a police presence. A police presence. There's lots of times where you do not want to see a police officer. Okay, we all know that. There's times where you're like, geez, I hope there's no cops around here. But there's certain times where you're like, no, I would like there to be cops around here. And one of those times is when you're going to a major sporting event or a concert or something or a blues game, although I don't know if anybody's going to go. By the way, Jordan Bennington, there's two schools of thought on this. One is that, you know, Bennington is watching the whole team sort of implode and self-destruct, and it becomes frustrating. And so you get a couple of goals down and you figure, all right, let's go fight somebody. I mean, you can see the frustration. You can just see the frustration everywhere in the Blues organization right now. So that's one school of thought. The other school of thought is he's doing it on purpose because he has now emerged as one of the team leaders. He's been there longer than quite a few people that we have on the Blues roster right now because of all the trades and selling off players and stuff like that. And so he's sort of accidentally emerged as one of the senior members of this team. He's got to set an example. And much the way, like in a baseball game, where a manager will dispute a call and go out there and yell and scream and get himself thrown out of the game pretty much on purpose, he's trying to motivate his team. So, you know, my guess is it's maybe a little bit of both, but we just don't have the bodies right now. We don't have the guys to clear out that crease and give Bennington an opportunity to make good saves. Just too much traffic out in front of the net. But yeah, just be careful where you park, and God, I don't know. But you got to really like to be outside in the cold to either go to that Dogtown parade tomorrow or that soccer game on Saturday night where the temperatures are going to be falling into the 20s and the wind blowing at 35 miles an hour. Not my idea of a good time. I wonder if it'll be like baseball where everybody wants to go to the home opener and you can't even get into the place. All the tickets are gone. You go the next night and there's 8,000 people in the ballpark because everybody went to the home opener. That's what they want. It's amazing how our brains work when something like this is involved. My initial response, my initial reaction to this whole concert thing later this summer with Willie Nelson and John Fogerty, Robert Plant, Alison Krauss was really good. It was like, wow, what a show that's going to be. And they start thinking about it and going, I saw John Fogerty. Oh, God, it had to be 15 years ago at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater, and he was really, really good, and his voice was still there, but I don't know about now, 15 years later. You know, SCTV, remember? This was in the days of, you know, Rick Moranis and Catherine O'Hara and John Candy and Dave Thomas, Andrea Martin. I remember they did a sketch about Perry Como. Perry Como, if you don't remember, was a sort of a crooner, sort of a singer in the 50s and 60s. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, did he have a theater in Branson at one point? He may have. But they were just talking about how old he was. I mean, really, really old, and still wanting to perform. And so I think it was Rick Moranis who portrayed him, and he was just laying face down on the stage, and they laid a microphone down in front of his face, and he just performed the whole concert that way. Absolutely hilarious. And but now you're looking at, you know, Willie Nelson's 90. And yeah, I mean, there's sentimental value. I mean, I think it's one of those deals where you're like, okay, I remember I saw Frank Sinatra maybe 2 or 3 years before he died, and it was on the bucket list. I'd never seen him before. And so it's like, okay, well, was he great? He actually still was. He was still pretty darn good, but his skills were beginning to deteriorate a little bit. But there was a lot of sentimental value. So you went because you're like, we're not going to have him forever. I want to see Frank Sinatra before he dies. And even if the show isn't perfect, you can say, I saw Frank Sinatra. So there may be some of that attached to the idea of a 90-year-old Willie Nelson being out there. But the more I think about this, the more I'm probably not going to end up going to that show. You may feel different. That's okay. Why does somebody want to take Brooke Grimsley off of TV and put her on radio? Isn't part of the whole appeal of Brooke Grimsley the idea that she's white, hot? And so now on radio, obviously you won't see her. Now, her replacement is also hot, but not Brooke Grimsley hot. This chick they're bringing in, first of all, she graduated college in 2021. She's been in the business less than 2 years. She looks 11 years old. And they had her on last night on Channel 4 doing the big NCAA basketball preview. And she has those big Jewish girl Clayton tits. And I mean, I don't care who you are. You could be sitting there with the TV on in the corner with your entire family sitting around the kitchen table going, well, I don't know what we're going to do about Grandpa, but I think it's probably time to take his car keys away. And we got to get him in some assisted living. This is going to be a difficult time. Holy shit. Look at the tits. This is what happens when this girl shows up on screen. Like I said, big Clayton High School Jewish girl boobs. But I don't know how smart that is, taking somebody who looks like Brooke Grimsley and just saying, well, now you can't see her anymore. And you know, there could be a lot more going on here. She may not have liked what was going on at Channel 4. Maybe her contract was up and they tried to lowball her and the radio station comes along and says, we can fix that. There's a common misconception that people on television make more money than people on radio, and that is rarely true. There's a couple of examples, a couple of exceptions, and that's the major anchor people. Mike Bush is making all the money in the world. Mandy Murphy, you know, people like that. But especially those general assignment reporters, you know, let's go to Bob in South City. He has the story. Bob, what are you learning tonight? That those guys, those people don't make much money at all. Radio, oh my God, used to make money hand over fist in radio. Now they've done away with that. There's really no reason to be in radio anymore. We used to get free albums, used to get free concert tickets, used to get tons and tons of free shit, plus money for nothing and your chicks for free. I mean, let's face it, you know, you get on the radio, you're sort of a big shot, and the girls come running. None of that is any good anymore. You're witnessing the final remnants of what used to be a very, very fun industry to be in. Back on this date in 2006, I was paired up with Andy Kaufman's old girlfriend, comedian Elaine Boozler. We were doing a fundraiser for what they called the Animal House. That was the when we were kids, we called them dog pounds. Now, of course, these animal shelters, and some of them are really sad places you don't want to know. And so the city was trying to raise money to build a new facility, which it ended up doing. They called it the Animal House, and Elaine and I were doing the emceeing that night. We had a really, really good time. It was on this date back in 1990. I was in Los Angeles interviewing Kevin Klein, Tracy Ullman, John Cleese, and a couple of other people for a movie called I Love You to Death, which was loosely based on a real-life event where somebody was trying to poison their spouse, and they made it into a comedy. It was a damn funny movie. It reminds me of something I saw. You know, Kevin Steincross used to be the entertainment guy and did some anchoring and stuff like that in Fox 2 and got really screwed over. He's doing the news one day, you know, and you got one of those earpieces in. You know, you got an earpiece in. And just try it sometime. Try putting an earpiece in and you're talking and somebody's talking in your ear and you're trying to maintain concentration on what you're saying. While you're saying it, there's somebody talking in your ear going, all right, after the story, don't go to sports, go right to a commercial. We've changed the order in these things. Okay, so you got that. While you're on the air delivering a story, this is coming into your earpiece. So you have all sorts of distractions and everything like that. And it's just one of those things you learn to do when you get into the business. Well, Kevin Steincross is sitting there and he reads some story and makes an unfortunate error, says a word that is commonly associated with a racial epithet and immediately apologizes. But people, I don't know, couldn't be more obvious that it was a mistake. And anybody who knows Kevin knows that, you know, he doesn't have any of that in his heart. But people, I don't know what people it was, but people wanted his head on a stick, I guess. And so he lost his job. And I've tried to contact him a couple of times to see how he's doing, because I knew Kevin. I used to see him at all the movie screenings. And yeah, he's a nice guy. And I just get the idea that he just does not want to talk about it. He does not want to relive any of it. And I respect that, because that's probably, as I think about it, that's probably how I might want to handle it myself. And but it's terribly unfair and just you know, awful that it happened. But the reason I bring this up is because there was a project that Kevin Klein was involved in, and in this particular case, they offered Fox 2 a satellite interview. And that's, you know, Kevin Klein goes into a studio in New York, and Kevin Steinkross sits in his studio at Fox 2, and they turn on the satellite, and you've seen these things all the time, where somebody's talking to somebody, and they appear in a little box on the TV screen, and you interview them that way. So Kevin Steinkross is interviewing Kevin Klein and makes a reference to Ted Drews, because Kevin Klein, of course, grew up in St. Louis, and he says something about Ted Drews, and Kevin Klein is just shaking his head like, I don't know what you're talking about. What's that? And Kevin Steinkross looks and goes, Ted Drews, you know, Ted Drews, the frozen custard place. And Kevin Klein is just shaking his head like, I'm sorry, I don't know what you're talking about. Answering the question, does Kevin Klein come back to St. Louis very often? Apparently not. And also, apparently, he left St. Louis at such a young age. I think he went to New York first. Apparently, he was so young when he left. He never even participated in what we know is the St. Louis ritual of going to Ted Drews. It's hard to believe. And Steinkross was just sitting there like, what the fuck? How do you not know you're from St. Louis? It's just one of those weird broadcast moments. You know, live TV, pretty much anything can happen. All right, I mentioned Mizzou playing today. What else we got here? Oh, as I told you a couple of days ago, Tampa Bay did sign Baker Mayfield to a one-year deal, so he is now Tom Brady's replacement, at least for now. The other big story is Ryan Reynolds. Ryan Reynolds, you've seen him on TV doing these commercials for some cellular service that I had never even heard of before, but he was a minority stockholder in this company. And this company yesterday got sold to T-Mobile for $1.35 billion. Ryan Reynolds is going to end up making hundreds of millions of dollars today. So in addition to being a really handsome guy, a funny guy, quite successfully has landed some of the best looking women in Hollywood. And now, on top of everything else the guy has going for him, today he just ends up being like a half a billion dollars richer. Q. Rod Stewart. Some guys have all the luck. I've told the story a million times coming up in the business. This was primarily in the 70s and early 80s. I moved 10 times in 10 years. I would work at a radio station for about a year and just sit there and go, I'm not learning anything here. This is bullshit. I got to move on. Or they would bounce me. One of the two things would happen. And sometimes I sort of intentionally got fired. What do they call it? There's something now called, there's a term for it where it's like silent quitting or something. What the hell is it called? I can't remember the term, but it's where people come in and do the bare minimum, knowing ahead of time that it'll probably catch up with them and they probably will end up getting fired, but they're okay with it. So I did that a couple of times before it had a slick little pop culture name. But, one of the problems if you move into a new city, you don't know where the hell anything is. And you don't know which way to go. And you're lost all the time. And you have a tendency to go to the same places and do the same things because otherwise you end up getting lost. And I remember I used to do this in every city I moved to, including St. Louis back in 1984. Because when you get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, do a morning show Monday through Friday, on Saturday and Sunday, sleeping in means maybe you sleep till 5:30 or 6 in the morning, and then you wake up. Your body is set to that rhythm, and that's just the way things go. So what I would always do, and I did this quite a few times in St. Louis, 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday or Sunday, I would go out in the car where there was, you know, so little traffic, and I would just navigate and just try to find things and just sort of drive around. I had a big map on the front seat, and you're driving around going, oh, okay, this is where this is. Oh, okay, I heard somebody make reference to this place. This is where, oh, the Bevo Mill, look at that. You know, so you would do that on a Saturday or Sunday morning, but it was hard. Was really, really hard because somebody would say, okay, we're going to end up having this party at such and such a place. And everybody in the place knew where it was except you because you were new. And so you'd pull out the map. Well, now, of course, and for what, 10 years now, we've had GPS. And it's a great thing, right? Right? Lester Holt, NBC?
As many as 93% of drivers depend on them. But experts warn that over-reliance is literally damaging our brains. Dr. John Torres now on how you can make sure it doesn't happen to you.
Kathy Bannister is finding her way.
We're going down the trail in our northerly direction.
Racing across the Arizona desert.
My plan is to go up here north a little bit. Catch
like her competition, she has only a map and compass. No GPS allowed. This is orienteering. And for 73-year-old Kathy, the stakes are much higher than who wins the race. Are you doing this for fun? Are you doing this for exercise? Are you doing this to keep your brain healthy? All the above?
All of the above. I do it for exercise. I do it because I love the puzzle. Solving the puzzle.
New research from McMaster University in Canada shows solving that puzzle is part of keeping her brain healthy. Scientists have found that using GPS does too much brain work for us.
They're extremely convenient, but they take the thinking out of it. They take the brain effort out of it, and it may be doing us a disservice in the long run.
Losing navigational skills can lead to cognitive decline, even dementia. But reading a map stimulates the hippocampus, the part of the brain responsible for memory, navigation, and mental mapping.
By turning off the GPS and using a map instead to navigate through unfamiliar routes, we're training that part of the brain, and it's less likely to decline.
People who participate in orienteering report better spatial navigation and memory, suggesting that by turning off your GPS and instead relying on a map could be beneficial to your aging brain.
One of the first symptoms associated with Alzheimer's disease is a loss of our ability to get from point A to point B. This is why orienteering may be a really beneficial way to stave off cognitive decline, because it taps right into that thing that they're losing first.
You don't have to get lost in the desert to get the brain benefits. Experts suggest changing your usual route, turning off the GPS on routine trips, and getting lost on purpose for the challenge of finding your way. For Kathy, who has a family history of dementia, her good old map and compass could be the key to keeping her brain sharp. Dr. John Torres, NBC News, Cave Creek, Arizona.
Just in case you needed something else to worry about. And by the way, while that story was playing, I was watching Fox 2, and the traffic reporter referred to 170 as the Interbelt. Here we go again. All right, late night tonight, Jimmy Fallon's got Keanu Reeves, Andy Samberg on with Jimmy Kimmel, Seth Meyers has Jason Sudeikis, and Annalee Ashford with Nick Collins. He's the son of Phil Collins on drums. Of course, Jason Sudeikis, formerly of Saturday Night Live, the next season of Ted Lasso debuted, popped up on your very own television screen yesterday. James Gunn from St. Louis is going to direct the next Superman movie. It's called Superman Legacy, and he's looking for a new actor for the title role. Watch what happens live. I might be one of the only people in St. Louis who's not that thrilled about Andy Cohen. All this gossipy, trashy stuff, and then he's the one involved in all this Real Housewives crap. It's just garbage TV that makes your brain go soft. So, I don't know. He might be a really, really nice guy and everything. I've never met him, but something's... I love the way he promotes St. Louis and promotes the Cardinals on his show. That's all great. I don't know about anything beyond that. The only reason I mention him is because Heidi Gardner is going to be on his show tonight on Bravo at 9:15. And yeah, another gal from Kansas City. Never going to be the prettiest girl on TV, but my God, is she talented. I love her. I love Heidi Gardner. There's some really, really good people on Saturday Night Live these days. Cat Stevens dropping a new album called King of a Land. The new single is called Take the World Apart. Aaron Rodgers has finally spoken the actual words. He wants to be a New York Jet next year. The Packers want to move on too. See if they can work out the deal. Birthdays today. The brunette with the piercing eyes and the astonishing sweater meat. There's a meme. There's a little clip of a scene with her and Woody Harrelson that I have watched dozens of times, and it just makes me proud to be an American. Alexandra Daddario is 37 today. Lauren Graham of the Gilmore Girls, 56. She's also in Bad Santa. Nancy Wilson from Heart, love her, 69. Eric Estrada from Chips, 74. And Chuck Woolery, Mr. 2 and 2, is 82. and the Labrador Retriever has been dethroned. The American Kennel Club has announced the French Bulldog is America's most popular dog breed for the first time, dethroning the Lab, which had been number one for 31 straight years. Number three, Golden, then followed by German Shepherd, Poodles, Bulldogs, Rottweilers, Beagles, Dachshunds, and German Short-Haired Pointers. Dog popularity can fluctuate wildly over time. 25 years ago, French Bulldogs weren't in the top 75. Cocker Spaniels, which were number one in 1990, are down at 29 now. And Collies, you know, like Lassie, are 39. Kennel Club recognizes 199 breeds. The least popular breed last year was English Foxhounds, and the runner-up was Norwegian Lundhounds. Do you sleep on your side? I do, unless I'm in a recliner, in which case I can sleep really in any position but on my back. But I never sleep on my back in bed. 42% of Americans say they sleep on their side. And the average person needs to sleep with three pillows. 64% of people consider themselves restless sleepers. Only 1 in 10 people wake up feeling refreshed every morning. And this is a little alarming, I guess the word would be. Soil samples taken from Mount Everest reveal that our coughs and sneezes are getting frozen up there in the mountain. These coughs and sneezes, which are getting frozen up there, can be preserved in the mountain's ice for centuries. And we were just talking about Woody Harrelson a moment ago. He and Matthew McConaughey are going to be in a new TV series that says it will celebrate their bond, which is why the show is called Marijuana. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Thursday, March 16th, 2023 is in the can. 14 days until opening day. We are here every weekday morning at 11. Please help spread the word. If you want to contact me, email jc at jconline.com. Facebook, the Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Have a great day. Enjoy, everybody. Stay warm. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran podcast.